Welcome to the Skokie Colo Podcast. Here you can listen to recent shiurim given by members of the Colo and special guests who spoke at the Colo. For older shiurim, open the Learn tab above and select Audio Archive.
Hi, my name is Ari Sundek. I remember it clearly. It was Lag BaOmer, a little bit over 20 years ago, when of course I went outside with my class to play softball. I was playing shortstop, and my Rebbe, Rabbi Erlbaum, was playing first base. And one of the less athletic boys in the class hit a ground ball right to me, and I rainbowed the throw high into the air to first base, still beating him by 4 or 5 steps. Immediately, my Rebbe gave me a serious look and pounded his glove. I knew exactly what he was saying. Throw hard. Why would you go out of your way to embarrass somebody? Now, a batter or two later, someone hit me a ground ball, and I threw it at my Rebbe as hard as I could. But that lesson stayed with me to this very day. The second half of Sefer Bereishis is full of stories of our avos and imos going out of their way and risking a lot not to embarrass somebody. Most famously, in Parshas Vayetze, we have Rachel Imenu giving up so much not to embarrass her sister Leah. In that same parsha, we have Leah Imenu davening to Hashem to not have another son so that her sister Rachel not be embarrassed. We have the story of Tamar willing to give up her life in order not to publicly humiliate Yehuda. Our parsha as well, Vayigash, has two amazing examples of this. In the very beginning of the parasha, Vayigash Ilav Yehuda, Yehuda approached him. One approach in Chazal is that he was coming for war. He was coming to fight with Yosef and physically take back their brother. In fact, Rashi says, when Yehuda comments, Ki chamocha kefaro, that you are like paro, one explanation is, Ki chamocha kefaro im takniteni, if you anger me, harag oscha ve'as adonecha, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill paro. Yet, when Yosef decides that it's time to reveal himself to his brothers, Pasuk in the beginning of Perek Memhei says, V'lo yachol Yosef lihisapik. Yosef could not restrain himself, L'chol hanitzav molav, with everyone standing over him. Vayikra hutziu kol ish me'alai. Everyone, leave the room. Servants, leave the room. Yeah, you too, secret service, out. Can you imagine? Yehuda's coming to attack him, and Yosef tells the secret service, I want you out of the room. Not only that, and the next pasuk he screams. You can imagine how their secret service is feeling. But why? Rashi explains, what does that mean? He couldn't take it? Lo haya yachal lisbol. He could not tolerate sheyiyu hamitzrim nitzavim alav, for the Egyptians to be standing there, vishomin she'echav mizbaishin, hearing that his brothers are embarrassed, behoda'o lahem, making himself known to them. Risking his life, not to embarrass his brothers in front of a bunch of mitzrim. Another, perhaps even more amazing example. When the brothers and Yaakov Avinu are finally in Mitzrayim, one of the first things that Yosef says he's going to do is, don't worry, you guys are all going to settle in Goshen, far away from the palace. Now, you would think, after not seeing his father for 22 years, he would want to spend time with him, keep him close by. But he's sending him to Goshen, and not only that, in the beginning of next week's parsha, he has to summon his son Yosef to ask him to swear about not burying him in Mitzrayim, and then Yosef has to hear through a messenger that, behold, your father is sick. Sounds like they were not around each other. Sure enough, the Medrash in the Psikta, as well as the Da'as Zakenim in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, write that from that day that Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, Yosef made sure never to be alone with him. Because if they were alone and had time to talk, you know what Yaakov probably would have asked him? Yosef, by the way, how did you get here to Mitzrayim? What did your brothers do to you that day? Yosef did not want to have that conversation. How embarrassing that would be for his brothers. Now the truth is, the language there in the Medrash and in Da'as Zakenim is that Yosef's fear was that if Yaakov finds that out, he's probably going to curse his brothers, and we know what happens when Yaakov Avinu curses somebody. That would be the end of the world. But I'm recording here tonight on the first night of Chanukah, so this morning was the unfortunate Ptira of the Gadol Hador of Aron Yehuda Leib Steinman Zatzal. So he has a sefer on Chumash, Ayelas HaShachar. I decided to see if he commented on this pasuk. Sure enough, he quotes this Da'as Zekenim in entirety, and I'll tell you his words. V'zeh Shavach Gadol. This is a great praise, Ma'od LeYosef. To the Achar Preda after a separation, Shachav Be'Shanim Me'aviv, who nimna liyos etzlo, he avoids being with his father, shema yishal osu al davar zeh, because maybe he will ask him this. And then he goes on to say that, who knows, maybe that zechus of being maver al midosav, overcoming your own desires and inclinations, maybe that's even a better zechus than overcoming the yetzahara, like Yosef did with Oishas Potiphar. But be that as it may, let us take the lessons of these parshas and make sure never to go out of our way to embarrass someone. And let us always make sure not to embarrass anyone. Have a great Shabbos.
My name is Yirmiyahu Newman. I would like to share an insight on Parshas Vayigash. The pasuk says, Vayomer Paro El Yaakov. Paro says to Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha. How old are you? Vayomer Yaakov El Paro. Yaakov responds to Paro, Yimei Shnei Megurai Shloshim U'ma'as Shana. I have lived 130 years. Ma'at V'rayim Hayu Yimei Shnei Chayai. My years have been few and difficult. V'lo Yisigu Es Yimei Shnei Chayai Avosai Bimei Megurayim. I have not reached the age yet of my forefathers. For this response, Yaakov is punished. Chazal explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, I brought you through the trials and tribulations of Esav and Lavan. You came out unscathed, and you're complaining about your difficult life. Therefore, Yaakov loses 33 years of his life. Why? Because his response to Paro was 33 words. For each word of his complaint, he lost a year of his life. Rav Chaim Shalevitz points out that the actual response of Yaakov was not 33 words. Therefore, you have to include in the punishment, the words of Paro, when Paro asks Yaakov, Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha, how old are you? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that this also is part of the complaint against Yaakov. Why does Paro feel a need to ask Yaakov how old he is? It must be that Yaakov looks very, very old. Paro asks him, how old are you? You look so old. The complaint against Yaakov is not only his response, complaining about his difficult life, but it's also the fact that he looks old. He let it get to him that he aged. And that also was a taina against Yaakov Avinu, that he allowed himself to age due to all of the anguish that he suffered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you shouldn't even look old. A person has to have the proper attitude that they should not even look old. You should always have a certain countenance of peace and tranquility. Yaakov Avinu on his level looked older than he should have looked. Therefore, even in Paro's question, there is a complaint against Yaakov Avinu. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says this beautiful vort. Rav Chaim David Goldberg in Sefer Shiras David adds that if you make a calculation, not only are the words of Yaakov in responding to Paro part of the 33 words, not only is Paro's question to Yaakov, how old are you, is part of the 33 words, but also the words in the Torah of Ayomer Yaakov El Paro. But even the words in the Torah of Ayomer Paro El Yaakov, where Paro, the Torah tells us, Paro says to Yaakov, how old are you? Even that is used against Yaakov. The complaint, the taina seems to be that not only because Paro had to ask a question to Yaakov, is that held against Yaakov? Why do you look so old? But the fact that Torah had to even write this, the Torah had to use four words to even introduce this inyan, seemed to be held against Yaakov, which is a big chiddush. The point is that we have to take life in stride, obviously take life seriously, but we can't let things push us down and allow us to age quicker than we really should. We should be very grateful and thankful for all that we have and have a good attitude.
Hello, this is Ari Burian. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayigash, we are told the amazing story of the reunification of the family of Yaakov, where Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and they're reunited as one family. And when they sit together and they embrace, and after that story, when they're able to reconnect, Yosef wants to give each one of them gifts. And the pasuk says, "Lekulan nasan leish chalifos smalos." To each one of them he gave a change of clothing. Ubenyamin nasan shlosh meos kesef, but to Binyamin he gave 300 pieces of silver. Vechamesh chalifos smalos, and he gave him five changes of clothing. So the Gemara in Megillah asks, this is a wonderment. Yosef, if anyone should have learned about treating everyone fairly and equally, is Yosef. He was the one who got a special coat from his father, and that caused jealousy within the family. He ended up getting sold as a slave. He sees treating people differently, treating all brothers differently, is only a recipe for trouble. And now he goes and gives all of the brothers the same thing, except for Binyamin. He gives him extra money, and he gives him five changes of clothing, and not just one. So the Gemara Megillah asks, what is Yosef thinking here? And he answers, what Yosef is trying to do now is he's making a remez, he's making a hint to Mordechai, who will come from the Shevet of Binyamin, who will come with one of the descendants of Binyamin, who will leave the king, King Achashverosh, with five garments of clothing. After the end of the Purim story, when the Jews are vindicated, when Haman is killed, Mordechai gets dressed in five kingly garments. And these five garments that Yosef is giving to Binyamin are a remez, the five garments that Mordechai, the son, the great-great-grandson of Binyamin, will wear in the future. And this is even more confusing. How does the Gemara answer the question? What is the connection between Yosef and Mordechai? They live in two completely different generations, and if that's the message he wants to show, why is he showing it in this way, where it's breeding jealousy in the family? So the Kedushas Levi points out, he says the famous idea of Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, that when we see the forefathers, the patriarchs doing something, it often has an impact on their children afterwards, that they live in that same moment. And he draws out a strong connection between Yosef and Mordechai. If you look at both of them, they live very similar lives. Yosef and Mordechai both became great because of dreams. Yosef was sitting in jail, and when Paro had a dream, Yosef was taken out to interpret that dream. Similarly, Mordechai became great because of a dream. When the night that Achashverosh couldn't sleep, and he was looking and reading his book, and Haman came in, the Medrash says there that King Achashverosh had a dream that night that Haman was going to try and kill him, and that's why he couldn't sleep. So we see in both of these stories, the king had a dream, and came Yosef, and became great because of this dream. And in both cases, they became the greatest person in the land, just under the king. Yosef becomes number two in all of Mitzrayim, just under Paro, and at the end of the Purim story, Mordechai becomes number two in all of the land, just under King Achashverosh. So they both become great because of the dream of the king, and they rise up to the number two slot in all of the land. So the Kedushas Levi is saying that what's this deep connection between Yosef and Mordechai? Why is he giving Binyamin five garments of clothing to reference Mordechai? To tell him that not only will you have Mordechai become great, but he'll live a life just like me, where he will be risen up to greatness, and he'll sit right under the king. But hold on a second. This is not Purim season. This is Hanukkah season. Hopefully you're listening to this CD and it's still Hanukkah. So what's the connection here to Hanukkah? So the Kedushas Levi points out that each one of the brothers had a deeper connection to someone later on. And the story of Shimon and Levi is directly related to the story of Hanukkah. How so? Shimon and Levi fought an entire war against Shechem. There was a very large city who was out to pollute the environment of the Jewish people. They had taken their sister Dinah and treated her improperly. And they, on their own, fought a war, an impossible war, two people against many, and they were victorious and they wiped out the entire city of Shechem. So too the story of Hanukkah. You have a small group of Kohanim, the Chashrunayim, the children of Matisyahu, and they fought an entire war to protect their values, to protect their family. They fought an entire war, small against so many. Giburim miyad chaloshim, the strong fell into the hands of the weak, and the rabim biyad ma'atim, and the many fell into the hands of the few. In the story of Shimon and Levi, it was just two. In the story of Matisyahu's sons, it was five, but still just a couple people who took down a very large army opposed to them. And the Kedushas Levi points out that this is referenced in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Shimon and Levi in very next week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi. It says, "Bekalam al teichad kavodi, in their congregation let my kavod not join, ki ba'apam hargu, because in their anger they killed, ki ba'apam hargu ish, in their anger they killed a man, ubritzonam ikru shore, and it, with their desire, they uprooted a shore. They uprooted an ox. So what does this mean, an ox? So the Kedushas Levi points out that it was a message that the Greeks wanted to give the Jewish people. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that the Jewish people were commanded to write on a keren shore, on the horn of an ox, that they do not have a portion in the God of Israel. To drive this message home to them, that they should think about this all the time, that they have no connection with Hashem. And so what was Britzonim Ikro Shor? That the desire of Shimon and Levi was to uproot this ox, this horn of an ox that was going to prevent them from thinking about Hashem. And also he mentions that Al Teichad Kivodi, that in their congregation I should not join together. I mean, he's referencing this idea that the Kohanim, the Hashmonaim, took over the kingship, which they were not supposed to do. Really, the kingship belongs to the tribe of Yehuda, but the Hashmonaim, after the story of Hanukkah, they become the kings. And that's Bekalim, in their congregation, where they take over the kingship, Al Teichad Kivodi, my honor should not join there. Because what they did, that was incorrect what they did at the end. So what does this mean to all of us? I think it's beautiful that we look at a pasuk when Yosef gives to Binyamin 5 garments of clothing, and you might just read past and it's just a detail. The Torah doesn't bother itself with details. Every detail is there to teach you something. And to realize that in every single detail in the Torah is lesson upon lesson, idea upon idea, the connection of Yosef to Mordechai, the connection of Shimon and Levi to Hanukkah, that everything is foundation is found in the Torah. And if we spend our time learning Torah and being immersed in Torah, we can connect with all the chachma, all the wisdom, and all the spiritual energy in the world. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Eric Goldman, and it is my honor and pleasure to share with you words of Torah for Parshas Vayigash. I was recently speaking to someone who told me that there was one line, one question that someone asked him early in his life that completely changed the trajectory of the rest of his life. Decades earlier, he had just started getting into Judaism. He was visiting the local Beis Medrash. He was learning a little bit. He would sit down. He would try to just soak in the words, even though he couldn't really understand what he was hearing. And then a certain Rav came over to him and asked him what he was doing. And so he responded, well, you know, I'm trying to learn the Torah. And so the Rav asked him, are you trying to learn the Torah or are you trying to live the Torah? And that was it. The one question changed this person's life. Now, I believe that there was more to it than just the specific question. It wasn't just the words that changed and had such an impact on this person. At the very beginning of Parshas Vayigash, Yehuda beseeches of this prince who's in front of him. Unbeknownst to him, it's obviously Yosef, his brother. And he says, please, let me come forward to you. Vayigash elav Yehuda vayomer. And he says, Bi Adoni, please, Yedaber na avdecha davar ba'azne Adoni. Let me come forward to you and let me speak something into your ear. And at this point, again, Yehuda had no idea this was Yosef in front of him. He just thought it was some Egyptian prince who he was speaking to through an interpreter. And if he was speaking to this prince through an interpreter, why was it necessary to speak into his ear? The prince was not understanding what Yehuda was going to be saying anyway. What was he going to accomplish by coming forward and whispering it into his ear? Rav Zelig Pliskin points out in his Sefer Growth Through Torah, based on his Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk in Yerushalayim, that more than what our words have an impact on a person, it's not just the ideas that we're trying to give over, but it's the emotions and the feelings with which we are saying them. That's what truly impacts another individual. As Chazal teach us, Dvarim Hayotzim in Halev, what leaves our hearts, Nechnasin El Halev, will go into another person's heart. And it's not just good advice that's told to public speakers. If you want to be able to influence the world around you, make sure it's a good idea, try, speak from your heart. But the Gemara is telling us this is a fact. The only way you can influence someone else's heart, the only way that your words will enter into someone else's heart and have an effect on them, and change them, and impact them, is if Dvarim Hayotzim in Halev. It has to come from your heart. What Yehuda was telling Yosef was, let me speak words into your ear, even though you won't understand my words, but I want you to hear the feeling behind my words. I want you to feel the sincerity behind what I am saying. Because Yehuda understood that it's the feelings behind the words that have the impact, not necessarily the words themselves. The Chafetz Chaim once had to speak to a government official about a decree that was levied against the Jewish people. And so he approached the individual and he was speaking with him, knowing again that he was talking to this person through an interpreter. And as he gave his impassioned speech, full of emotion, even before the interpreter began to interpret the words of the Chafetz Chaim, the government official already said, I understand what he's saying. Because it wasn't about the words, it was about the feeling and the emotion with which the Chafetz Chaim said it, that it came from his heart and it entered into this other person's heart. this individual I mentioned at the very beginning, whose life was changed around by one simple question: are you learning the Torah or are you living the Torah? Before he told me that story, he went on in a whole long description about how big of a tzaddik this person was, and how he was always looking out to help people. He was always looking to change the world and be involved, and he wanted to help people see the beauty in Judaism, and he loved Judaism. And then he told me the story. So it's no wonder that this one question had such an impact, because it wasn't coming from someone who's just wondering in a curious way, are you learning or are you living the Torah? But it was coming from someone who he himself lives the Torah. And so when he asked the question, it was truly Devarim Hayotzim in Halev. It was truly something that came from his heart. And even if we're not involved in Kiruv, and we're not trying to teach Torah, but all of us in our individual situations, of course, are trying to influence someone, whether it be family members, spouses, and children, or friends, or other community members. We want the world around us to feel good about what we are doing and what we are trying to give to them. The only way to do that, the only way to truly impact those around us, is if it's something that's not just shallow words, but it's something that comes from our hearts. It's something that we ourselves have fully internalized. And Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, by feeling what we have in our hearts, by strengthening ourselves, we are able then to go out into the world and impact everyone around us and allow our words to truly enter into their hearts. Thank you and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to learn about all the programs that the Skokie Community Kol has to offer. For any questions, suggestions, or to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, please email us at info@skokiekol.org.